Zoomer Radio, the original greatest hits, Andy Kim, Baby, I Love You, on the morning Zoom with Sam and Jane and our super special guest, Andy Kim. If you're watching the interview, that's one thing. But if you're listening to us, I just quietly glanced over because it's been a few years since you've been on the show. And in your absence, I have taken it upon myself to make you my boyfriend. And so I just got to cut to the chase. And that's silly. So I can stop that now. And you know, you're not my boyfriend because that would be a fantasy. Or you can say, you know what, Sam, it's okay if you want me to be your boyfriend. And then we'll just, you know.
I thought I always was your boyfriend. And so here's the thing. The thing is that you never reached out to me.
Oh,
and I was so hurt.
I'm sorry.
And then, you know, you're talking to two Andys these days. And so
I am.
But I'm here. And maybe, just maybe.
What? What?
A movie.
Oh, a movie.
Jane's no like, less.
Hello.
No. I feel a little awkward. I can leave. Because honestly, this is really emotional.
I think, too, we have it now taped and on record. So there is no escaping me. Anyway, welcome to the morning Zoom with Sam and Jane. Okay, I'm a little warm. Is it warm in here? Yes, I feel a little bit warm.
You know
in
what?
Here.
I feel your flush from here, even through the plexiglass. Andy.
It's Jane. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you.
You know, it's great to be here. And
yes.
And this is the beginning of being free again.
Yeah.
You know, I think these plexiglass things will be gone. I want my life back.
Yes.
And did you feel over the last 20, 21 months, whatever it's been, have you felt like your life was taken away from you?
No.
So what was the pandemic experience for you?
You know, I had everything that I was looking forward to, especially 6 weeks in New Zealand, Australia. Everything got canceled. But the interesting thing is that there's a comfort in knowing that not only did you get canceled, but Elton John got canceled,
right,
and everybody else got canceled. So it's not like you're looking over your shoulders like, what did I do? Or I'm, you know, irrelevant again. But I come from a place that I live in my dreams, and I just went back there and I did everything that I was asked to do. You get a vaccine when the vaccines were available, distancing. And, look, I just think that I've always felt that musicians are kind of very, very lucky. And we travel and we do all the things we want to do. And people, you know, they listen to us. And I think deep down inside, I was always hoping that, you know, my brothers and, my brothers in Montreal were safe and nieces and nephews were safe. But you know, I found a studio that was inhabited, and so I lived there for a while and just wrote songs, and I hate to say it, but I was okay.
No, I think it's okay to say that because we've spoken to other guests. By the way, you are our first in-person guest. So we've done a lot of interviews by phone, but you're our first outside the radio station guest, you know, to come into studio. So anyway, we just thought it really fitting that you would be that first person, you know, because we are close to you and we do consider you family. So we're glad that you are here.
Well, I mean, your support has always been such a force for me. And throughout the years, it's kind of been really interesting. But I'll tell you, I'm a little bit of a guy who got programmed. I walked in and the sliding doors were closed and Jane is doing the news. And I'm looking around at everybody and I figure, okay, I'm going to sit there now. I'm not going to be allowed in. And so my mind goes to precaution always.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm excited. I'm excited about today and tomorrow and the rest of my life. How long, you know, the good Lord gives me, I'm appreciative.
Well, I think it's going to take a long time before we all start letting go of the barriers in our own minds with regard to everything that was COVID. I think one of the really special things about you, Andy, is that you really connect with the people who enjoy your music. You connect with like the regular people. I mean, I was excited when you followed me back on Twitter. Right? It's like, you know, and I know that that sounds a little bit starstruck, but that's how you are with people. You're just, and I wonder if that comes naturally to you or if that's something you started doing early on. And like, how do you give so much of yourself?
Well, first of all, I am not my songs, you know. I mean, people give this thing about, you know, well, you wrote this or you sang this. And I'm not that guy. I'm the third of four brothers from Montreal. And my mom and dad are watching. And I don't walk around feeling like I'm Andy Kim, the artist. I never felt that way. Mm. I was lucky enough to write songs and lucky enough for people to really like them. And you go on tour and there's people, you know, screaming and all of the stuff that happens when you're young. And it was kind of an outer body experience for me. So what you're meeting is the kid that grew up in Montreal who, you know, went to parochial school and was an altar boy and the third of four brothers. Hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
All that other stuff is, I'll leave that to Sam.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I know. You know what? She's such a pretentious bee. She really is. Oh gosh.
Especially since Andy Kim has verified that you are his girlfriend.
I know. It's special. I want to talk to you a little bit about your birthday because I know it's coming up. And is it a coincidence that the timing of your concert is around the time of your birthday? Is that the little gift you give to yourself, is getting all your friends together and jamming for a couple of hours for a good charity?
Well, I'm amongst friends here.
Yeah.
It's a melancholy, December is a melancholy time for me, and I don't know why.
Hmm.
I never really celebrated my birthday with parties and stuff. We grew up in a tenements and my mom would make a cake and we'd blow out a candle and everybody would have a piece of cake and then that was it. Mm-hmm. I think someone once said the philosophy began when man ate the produce of the earth and suffered indigestion. So for me, I think about the fact that I started the first year of the Andy Kim Christmas because I just wanted to hang around people and sing songs and not go anywhere. I haven't figured out the melancholies. I'm stuttering here or trying to think of how to say it without, you know, breaking down. So it's a funky time of year for me. So I'm not one of those, let's, you know, drink for 24 hours and go out and party. It's something else, but I haven't figured it out and I'm not interested in finding out the answer.
But just, I know Jane's bursting with different questions. I just want to say your concert, though, maybe that melancholy is reduced because you bring such joy to other people and maybe that's why you do it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And I think if I were to be pretty candid, that's why I do it, you know, and maybe it's the subconscious reason why artists say yes, because they know that not only will they be surrounded by other great, great artists, but the whole idea is to help charities. Mm-hmm. And it's been Cam H Gifts of Light for the past few years. And I think about this pandemic and mental health is kind of collided right now. And we need that. we need it all the time anyway, but this is a little more visible for me. You know?
People have struggled in many different ways during the pandemic, and it has maybe even highlighted more the need for the attention to be on mental health. And so the funding of all of your years of the Andy Kim Christmas towards CAMH, how has that made change? I mean, in terms of like a small example, a big example, whatever, you know, you want to highlight.
Well, the interesting thing is that I had no idea that there was a thing called CAMH, number one. Number two, I was having a conversation with Donna Slate, and she was talking about Gifts of Light, and I had no idea what that was. And so she asked if I would come and visit CAMH and look at what the program was going to be about. And it was fascinating, and it is fascinating. Basically, some of their patients, if not a lot of their patients, come in sometimes with clothing that needs to be incinerated, bathrobes. It's not something that you have a wardrobe that you bring in. You're bringing in essentials, or you're bringing in just your broken down self. And her idea was to be able to have an environment where a new patient can come in and get a new pair of jeans or a new sweater, even a socks or shoes. And it was in its embryonic stage when I first went there. And it hit me that I'll go shopping and I will see a sweater and I'll put a sweater on and I'll think, wow, I feel this really looks cool.
Right.
And I have a habit of, unfortunately, it's an expensive habit, of buying two of everything that I love. I don't know why, but this is what I do. And I realized that the emotion of feeling great about a sweater or a jacket or... So since then, it's really become... it's become filled with every size. It becomes filled with both genders. It becomes filled with the ability to actually be there to help someone feel better as they start through the process. And that's why I just love this place, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you've raised a ton of money for CAMH, and you'll do it again this year. I want to switch gears and ask you about a rumor I heard that you were retiring and that Ed Robertson from the Bare Naked Ladies convinced you to not retire. Is that true?
No, I never retired. I became irrelevant.
Oh, no. Well,
no, it's the truth. It's the truth. I kept writing and I kept presenting my songs to record labels, and I had a representative, a very powerful industry representative, who would send my demos and songs without my name on it, and people would love it, and record companies would say, "We'd love to sign it. Who is it?" And he'd say, "Andy Kim," and they said, "Ah, he already had his time. We can't do it." Because there was no way of resurrecting me from, you know, whether it was the Archies or whether it was my own hits. Because I remember the first time I was part of the Brill Building. I was told by Lee Bernstoller and Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich something that I think everybody felt. You're only as good as your last 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So how do we ever get this way? It's 2:30, sugar is 2:30. And so that's the world that I decided that I could spend my life with, which is, it's the luck of the draw. And so the truth is, I was irrelevant. And by chance meeting with Ed, and the idea of writing a song with him was kind of a cool thing. I could never have gone and said, hey, can I write a song with you? It had to come from someone who was kind of interested, you know. And I couldn't find anybody to produce the song. And so I said, well, why don't we give it to somebody else? Because I had been irrelevant for quite a while through, especially through the latter part of the 80s into the 90s. And he said, no, I'm going to produce it. Hmm. And he produced it. No record company wanted to put it out. So I started my own label, which I did with Rock Me Gently initially. And it became a top 10 record and gave me this opportunity. And I keep calling him and thanking him.
Oh, that's awesome.
But he resists the thought that he did anything special. You know, he said, he just said it's something that was already there. And he diminishes his role, and I give him all the credit, to be honest.
But this word irrelevant, it has such negative connotations. I mean, if you're still active and involved in your life and writing and feeling good, just because it's not on the charts, I mean, doesn't that take the irrelevance label off of what it is that an individual is doing?
Well, there are two aspects. What you're doing is what your life is. But you need to be successful at it. And so I became irrelevant because there was nothing that anything that I was writing that was new people cared about. So it's not that my life was irrelevant. My career was irrelevant. So I'm going to quote lines that I've heard through my life. I don't know if it's a Buddhist saying or not, born round, do not die square. You are who you are. And so I'm a happy guy. I'm always seeing the positive sides of life. And you don't write Sugar Sugar if you're a downer.
That's true.
Let me just say that. I'll start there.
But I will also say that you, at the very beginning of this conversation, said who you are is the son of great parents and the brother to great siblings. And so, the irrelevance piece that Jane is referring to, I mean, you're definitely obviously not irrelevant in your life, nor are you irrelevant in terms of the music, because we love it. Our listeners hear about you all the time from us, and then we hear from them about you. So the love is still there for sure. You know, I mean, but I guess when you've had the highest of highs, I don't know, how do you ever get back there? I mean, it's huge.
I'm very happy. I heard this great line in a movie that I saw recently, and I put it on pause because I needed to hear it a couple of times, and I wrote it down. And the line is, I'm going to say it twice only because I love to hear it. What are you doing with your one and only life? What are you doing with your one and only life? And so for me, I immediately thought, wow, I'm doing me. Now, it doesn't mean that my brothers are doing what they want to do in their one and only life. I've not asked them the question. I think we all have to listen to it and answer it for ourselves. But I've been doing me since birth, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And part of you, we'll bring it back to the Andy Kim Christmas show, is being resurrected now, hopefully at the end of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And performing on stage at the new Massey Hall. This is all new and exciting and part of the evolution of Andy Kim.
Well, you know what? Massey Hall is like really kind of the coolest thing in the world. I went to look at it about a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, you get a hard hat and you walk around and there's dust and wires hanging out of the... And even through all of that, I knew it was beautiful. I mean, what they are doing is just incredible. But the finally, there are dressing rooms that are really dressing rooms, and they've done a great, great job. But there was so much sawdust and things. And the first thing I thought about was, it's going to get done because it's got to be done because Gordon Lightfoot's going to be there on the 25th.
I know.
So thank God that Gordon's going to make sure everything is done before we get up there, you know.
Well, you've raised just under $2 million. This is the year that you will put it over the top, I have a feeling, and bring in fantastic money for CAMH. And we're just so thrilled that you joined us today, and we could go on and on and on with you. And so that just means you have to come back soon.
Well, you know what? I hope I just didn't blab too much.
Oh, we loved every minute.
And, I was mesmerized.
And she actually was
staring at you almost in a strange way.
I thank you all for inviting me, well, at least being here.
Oh, stop it. I'm your girlfriend. Of course I'm going to invite you.
And are there still tickets available? MasseyHall.com.
Yes. You can go to Massey Hall. I think you can go to Ticketmaster as well. I don't involve myself in that. I just figure, you know, people will hear about it. And thank you so much for talking about it today. It's really cool.
Well, it's awesome having you in here. It's very cool having you in here. Andy Kim.
Love you all. Thank you.
That's great. Oh.